hour. It's Jones and Keith. WEEI will get to the grab bag coming up about 15 minutes from now. So stay tuned for it. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. They have what's today?
Schefter,
today?
I think.
Is it Schefter? That's what I was going to guess.
I think so.
Is that today or is that tomorrow? Oh, we'll check with them later on this hour.
Hey, rip the knob off.
Why don't you just listen from 2 to 6? Yeah. You'll find out what's going on there on WEEI Afternoons with Hart and Arcan. Uh-huh. In the meantime, before we get into both the Bruins and Robert Saleh, two big stories, and who could be replacing Robert Saleh in New York, is that person Bill Belichick? We've been informed that gators can, in fact, climb trees.
Blew my mind. You learn something every day. That's why you get up in the morning. And, somebody sent us, was it Mike on Twitter? And people were texting it, too.
That's what I was going to say. So we got a text about it. I didn't really think much of it. Then we also got this tweet. It could be the same individual, but Mike's got photographic evidence of a gator in a tree.
Yeah, just sitting on a tree.
I don't love that.
Like, way up high in a tree.
Photoshopped?
So now we have to worry about gators and trees now?
Is it AI, Keith?
I don't know. You click on it on Bing images, gators and trees. There's countless of them.
We're getting Eric shunned. What do they call it?
Erection.
Yeah, is that what we're getting? Eric shunned?
He's had a lot of scoops, I know, on the morning program. But no, there's a lot of it on the internet. I mean, it's possible that everything's fake on the internet. But
good point.
That is something that...
Eric shunned.
That's so good.
Dump it.
Oh, that's great.
So it could be AI.
That is a
gator
game
in a tree.
Changer.
You climb up on top of that car and you're like, I got you, gator. And then he's like, just climbs up there. Wow. What are you supposed to do about that?
I don't know.
Okay, so that's frightening. Uh-huh. They're moving up the animal power rankings, I can tell you. They just bumped up a tier.
Oh, yeah.
Here on a tier Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Bruins opener is tonight. Let's get to that in a moment. The Robert Saleh vacancy in New York. There are some updates on that. Apparently he was escorted out of the building today.
Cuffed?
He was escorted out per multiple sources by the team's director of security.
Okay.
After got the news.
Throw a fit.
And so Florio makes the point, it's not unprecedented, but it is unusual. The Browns did it with George Kokinis in 2009. He said there have been others in the past. Their GM, I guess.
Oh.
There have been others in the past 15 years. He makes the point that this did not happen with Adam Gase. Now.
Huh.
This is also the Jets' first in-season firing under Woody Johnson, so is it different in-season than on, Black Monday when they fire all the coaches? I don't know.
It is.
I would think so, too.
Season's over. There's a whole different kind of atmosphere when the year is over.
Yeah, so maybe that speaks to it. But again, he's escorted out. There's other stories where, number one, he was blindsided, which you got fired. Like, of course,
you've had three straight losing seasons.
But I would hope you're somewhat I hope you weren't like, boy, I've been expecting this for a few weeks. And
that's
like,
you mean like that? Yeah. Like, I get it. Like, you're coaching a season. You think it's
your
job for the season.
I've been stealing money here for weeks. Thank God. There's a glitch in the system.
It was crazy to me that he started the year. It was three straight losing seasons
correct.
In New York.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, I get not being blindsided. But, like, the timing of it, they just came back from London.
Right.
I get that. The other piece, and then we'll get to your thoughts on it, Keith. The other piece that jumped out to me today is that Jordan Schultz is among at least one of the reporters saying that it was all Woody Johnson. Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, right.
Rodgers was scheduled to be on McAfee today. They're bumping that interview to tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you believe that, as Ted Johnson said, I got some Rolexes in the trunk of my car.
Oh, my God. That's like every time LeBron got a coach fired and it was always like the GM's decision or like the president's decision, or the owner's decision. It was never LeBron's decision.
No.
And yet everywhere he goes, coaches are just like jumping ship left and right.
LeBron John.
Yeah, so I think Aaron Rodgers had quite a bit to do with this. As bad as Rodgers has been, I'll still take Rodgers over Saleh. Like, if you had to pick between the two, I'll take my chances with Rodgers for the rest of the year.
I would, too, but I don't love either choice,
I
would, yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe you get a little bit of a boost, but it is, like, doing it this early in the season, I guess they think anybody but Saleh gives them a better chance. And, like, the crazy part is, they're off to a really slow start, but they play the Bills this Monday Night Football. If they win that game, they're in first place in the division, I think, right? Depending on tiebreaker.
They
have the same record.
Well, yeah, at least they'd be 3-3. The Bills would be 3-3.
And they'll have a win over them.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're right there. And I guess that's maybe the point. Maybe that's actually a better decision. Rather than letting the season slip away, if you think Saleh is that big of a problem. I just never would have gone into the year with him. Like, I don't know how it can be both. Like, how you can be committed enough to start the year with him.
But then five games you ditch out.
And you're not 0-5, you're not 1-4, but you still came up with a scenario that you lost. And the team you just lost to was undefeated. It is undefeated. So it's very strange.
It is.
And it's not like you have two great coordinators where it's like, these guys are going to be gone, taking a job next year.
Yeah, like some up-and-coming coordinator who's putting pressure. No, it's Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator. who we had to look up the man's bio. I kind of remembered him from Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
It's not Rodgers' guy.
No, Hackett.
Thank you. Nathaniel Hackett. So it's not him. I will say, as part of the dysfunction you sign up for with Rodgers, like, Rodgers was shoving Saleh. We saw it on national TV, Thursday Night Football, Patriots and Jets, when his team was winning.
Yeah.
He was shoving the head coach. Never mind, they don't know how to use Breece Hall. Garrett Wilson hasn't bumped up at all. He's throwing to all of his guys. Alan Lazard is catching like touchdowns every single week. And now the coach is out. So there's weird dysfunction that is at least falling around late career Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think they're more likely, less likely, or as likely to trade for Devontae Adams now?
Oh, more likely.
Yeah.
More,
I just mean, give him his guys.
Rodgers behind
like,
it.
You're doing
so
it.
I would say more likely. It's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Do you think Bill is in the mix? I'll ask this in two parts.
Yeah.
Do you think Bill is in the mix for the Jets right now, meaning in season?
So I kind of do. It's the Jets. I think they're obviously pretty dysfunctional. They were riding with Robert Saleh for a while. I don't know if they want to go Ulbrich for the entire year. You know, it's not like there's three games left. It's not like they're already eliminated from the playoffs. Like, their whole season's in front of them. They're right in there. 2-3. Like, it's the AFC, I would say, besides the Chiefs running away with it at 5-0, seems pretty open. Like, there's a lot of spots up for grabs with 12 games to go. So I wouldn't be surprised if they reach out to him. But like Kern was saying earlier, like, I don't think Bill is going to want to take over a team 5 weeks into the season. Like, I don't think that does him any favors.
Well, Kern made it sound like Bill's going to have a lot of options at the end of the year, which I question. Tom is way more plugged in than I am, but I question. He didn't have a lot of options last year.
He had
And we all
none.
Thought he was going to have a ton of options last year, and he didn't.
He had none, but I also think the three or four that would be interested in a strictly coach upgrade, not worried about roster construction and all that, all decided to keep their coaches, and at least one made a mistake. The Jets made a mistake by bringing back Robert Saleh. Nick Sirianni, Mike McCarthy, Sean McDermott are all up in the air. Sirianni's kind of teetering.
Okay, but all of those guys, all of those owners could have fired their coach last year to bring in Bill.
Yeah.
So they already had the chance to hire Bill and fire their guys, and they didn't.
Yeah, but not all GMs want to pay multiple coaches. You know, Jerry Jones is bringing back Mike McCarthy. He brought back Jason Garrett for like 100 years when he shouldn't have. McCarthy's a lame duck coach.
But if you don't want to pay two, are you going to pay through the nose for Bill?
Yeah, I wonder if Bill's going to command top dollar. I think you and I disagree on that.
I think he will.
I think he wants the coaching record, and I think he would take good money, but I don't think he's going to be whatever it is, $25 million.
So if Bill's playing that game, like being picky and choosy, and he gets offered the Jets job today, and he says, I'm going to wait till the end of the year and see what jobs are out there, I think that's a mistake by Bill.
Do you think the Jets job will be open at the end of next year?
Yes.
So do I. So I think they either keep an interim. Like, it's very rare to...
I know, but if you say no to the Jets, are they going to circle back again in like 3 months and be like, okay, Bill, we'll hire you again?
Like, well, maybe you do the thing where you're like, I would have taken the job last year. You kept Saleh.
I'm committed
now you
to
want me in season.
I'm committed to underdog fantasy.
I'm getting that underdog scratch, and I'm on every other show. I can't leave McAfee.
No, I can't leave him.
Like, well, you and Rodgers could both do McAfee together as player and coach. He's like the Jets show. I think they'll at least... I think he'll get an interview next year, would be my guess. I don't think he coaches them in season. But I do think he gets an interview with the Jets next year.
Okay. I would love it. Like, that's now where I want him to wind up.
Same.
I asked this to Tommy Curran. I'm like, what are you rooting for? Like, what would be interesting to you? He said Cowboys, which is great.
Cowboys Jets, is fun league-wise.
I think the Jets are really in play. That would be awesome. Because Bill, it would be a great way for Bill to stick it to Robert Kraft. For the Dynasty series, it would be a great way to get back at him. You're in the division, and you're beating the Patriots twice a year, potentially. Like, that'd be a great way to get back. Or maybe the Patriots beat him. Either way, it's good drama. That's what I want. But I think it's remote. I don't think he's going there, and I certainly don't think he's going there this year.
I want Jets or Bills just because it's twice in the division. Guaranteed two matchups with
but
the Patriots.
Jets would be better than
Jets
Bills.
Jets is way sweeter because of his whole relationship and just the city thing. And they're a bit more of a fixer-upper than the Bills are. The Bills are a little bit more.
And it's more of a rivalry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it just wants to be, and it'll fuel it a little bit more. It'll bring it back.
Yeah, and that, you know, the battle between the two cities, as you said, but also, like, the history with him and the Jets, and now he's going to the Jets to team up against you.
Yep.
Like, that would be great.
That's what
I'm rooting for. Do you think he's in play? Should he go there? 617-779-7937. How would you feel about it as a Patriots fan if Bill went to the Jets? Would you be happy for him? Or would you be a little pissed? You can jump in there. Meanwhile, Bruins open tonight. Keith, you said earlier, what would make for a successful Bruins season?
I think go, obviously, do the playoffs and win a round. And I would feel pretty good about that. And I think, that's kind of like a low bar. But unfortunately, I don't think every single team, every single year is a Super Bowl, Stanley Cup, NBA title, although that's sort of separate, World Series team, right? Like, I don't think every year you can bank on that. So I think specifically you want Jeremy Swayman, first year with his big contract, to play really, really well. First year, 55 games or so, and like the no-brainer playoffs, see what happens with him in the playoffs. Pastrnak, McAvoy kind of keep going with the way their careers are headed. I'm looking for even more out of McAvoy this year, like top five type thing. So that's all what I'm looking for individually. But then as a team, it's a pretty good conference. It's a pretty good division. So if you're one of the four best teams in the conference, like, I look at that as a good year.
So I think they need to be final four
overall,
meaning winning the division, if you will, or at least playing their way out of the Atlantic Division and being in the Eastern Conference final. That's not a prediction. I'm not saying they're going to do that.
No, that's a success for
you. But that would make it a successful year for me. They go farther than they went a year ago. They win a couple of rounds. Preferably, one of those rounds is not against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who everybody beats. And so I think that would be a successful year. You went out and spent like crazy. You brought in Elias Lindholm. You brought in Zadorov. You're now paying through the nose, I think deservedly so, but paying through the nose for Jeremy Swayman. You're already paying McAvoy and Pastrnak. And the team has the talent to do it. Again, I'm not predicting they're going to do it, but they have the talent to do it. So that, to me, would be a successful year. Get to the Final Four, get to an Eastern Conference final, advance further than you did a year ago. Now, look, maybe there's a gray area in there. They beat Florida in round one, and they get knocked out in the same round. I'd probably feel better about that, but I need to see that play out just in a vacuum.
Yeah.
What would be a successful year? That Final Four, Eastern Conference final, and I do think that's in their range of outcomes.
I got some Bruins props for you. Oh, Bruins betting
good.
Props.
All right, by the way, I should have updated this earlier. Korpisalo was the first goalie off today, so he's expected to start. Yes.
So the Korpisalo season, Jones is all over that. Jones has a better season for Korpisalo than Linus Ullmark.
Yes.
We'll be keeping tabs on that throughout the year. All right, last three seasons, and I can do three because those were the last three 82-game seasons.
Okay.
They had, from 22 to the most recent, they had 107 points in the regular season, then a record 135, and then 109. That's what they had for points the last 3 years. The Vegas over-under for Bruins points.
I think I know this. 99?
97.5.
Oh, wow. Either way, I'd take the over.
I'll take the over on that, too.
That feels like an easy
They're
over.
They're not going to be that much worse than they were last year,
so
are they? I know they were better than people expected.
Here's my guess. My guess is the reason the point total's lower, and this will be a good test case, my guess is they've had that goalie tandem, which probably saved them a lot of points on most nights.
That's true.
I just don't think the goalie tandem is going to be worse. But if you think it'll be worse without Ullmark, I understand that point total more.
I'll still take the over.
I'm taking the over because I believe in the tandem.
You can also bet playoff specials where to win zero playoff rounds, minus 245.
Wow.
To win one, plus 205.
I definitely bet that.
And to win two, plus 460.
Yeah, I'm less into betting that one.
So one playoff round victory right now, you can get plus 205.
Like, the odds are super high they're going to get Toronto in the first round again.
I know.
So I would think about betting that, plus 205.
Just straight up to make
It's not worth betting zero playoff rounds. Minus 240 something?
Which should
or
be.
One, what did you say, 140 something? 240?
Minus 245.
Yeah, that's not even worth betting.
Which should be actually a lot lower, or I guess higher than that, because there's also the what if things don't go well and they don't make it?
Don't make the
then you cash right away, let alone you get a tough first round matchup. And then to make the playoffs, is minus 210. So obviously Vegas thinks like they are for sure a playoff team. And then one individual one for you, over under 48.5 goals for David Pastrnak.
I'd take the over on that.
I would definitely take the over on that.
Like that should be a better line this year, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm sure it's Montgomery. I'm sure they'll move it all around. But last year he had 47.
Yeah, I'd take the over.
So maybe that's a pretty good number. 61 the year before that, 40 the year before that.
I would take the over on that number. I mean, look, I'm not telling you the Bruins are winning the
48
cup.
48.5. Yeah.
But
50 goals.
Can the team take a step forward and Pastrnak take a step forward? Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
All right.
So there you go. Bruins open their season tonight. You got thoughts on it? 617-779-7937. Bill Belichick, potentially the Jets, to replace Robert Saleh and Drake May. When do we get the switch? All that's been on the table today. And on the way next, some stuff we missed because it's time for Grab Bag.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
It's time for Grab Bag. All right, here we go. This is back. Time for Grab Bag on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, and all the stories we couldn't get to in the first 3+ hours of the program. And sad news to start with right off the shoot here is Louis Tiant has passed away at the age of 83. We call him a Red Sox legend. 8 seasons with the Sox from 71 to 78. Of course, his career spanned 19 years, Jones, from 64 all the way to 82. He led the league in ERA a couple of times. He was a 3-time All-Star and just a big-time personality. You know, you'd see him over at Fenway Park and things like that. And got the news earlier today. Sadly, passed away at the age of 83.
229 career wins, 330 lifetime ERA. And so, I mean, look, a legendary run for the Red Sox in 75. He won both games in that World Series with the Red Sox. So, you know, I mean, like, from his look to his wind-up, Keith.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, that's the kind, and it's before our time. It's not like I'm like, oh, I remember in 75.
No,
he's too old for us. Yep. But, like, baseball needs more of that, and we're hearkening way
definitely
back.
Yeah,
but, like,
characters.
Individual look, individual wind-up. Like, that, how many pitchers feel like they have
same
a wind-up or even a batting stance, like, that you can mimic? Like, that's,
oh, yeah,
that's one that you can mimic and you remember, and it stands out. And Major League Baseball doesn't have a lot of that from the characters, as you said,
right,
the look, the wind-up, the whole thing. And so, yeah, I think baseball needs more of that. But mm-hmm, obviously that was yesteryear, and unfortunate for a guy who mm-hmm a lot of older Red Sox fans remember and keep very near and dear to their heart. I interviewed him once, Keith. He was plugging cigars.
Did you really?
You know, this is a long time ago when I was at ESPN.
All right.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, friendly guy, loved his cigars. That's mostly what we were talking about in the interview.
Sweet.
But, yeah, I mean, seemed nice enough in my one encounter.
Cool.
And you hear great things about him over and over again.
Yeah, for sure. All right, as for the baseball playoffs going on right now, yesterday you had the two American League Divisional Series games. Tigers score 3 runs in the 9th. They beat the Guardians 3-0. That series is now tied at a game apiece. They beat the closer for the
Guardians.
Well,
that's what I was just going to say. Like, not just 3 runs late, but
yeah,
they beat Class, who's
awesome.
Lockdown.
Like, the guy, what his ERA this year was like 0.6 or something.
Microscopic,
he was insane.
I believe he allowed 5 runs all year.
And he allowed 3 yesterday.
He allowed 3 yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That is pretty sick. Tarek Skubal got the start for Detroit. The guy who's likely to win the American League Cy Young. 7 scoreless, 3 hits allowed, 8 Ks.
Nice.
That is a playoff start right there.
He's pitching them through the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, to the postseason and now through the postseason.
I like them. I like them quite a bit. And the Kansas City Royals defeated the New York Yankees 4-2. So that series is also even at a game apiece.
I was in and out on that game last night. I was flipping back and forth between Monday Night Football. Number one, love Sally Perez. Love the whole getup that he has behind the plate.
Yeah.
Number two, Aaron Judge, the highest strikeout rate in postseason history.
Wow.
And like
a lot of guys played postseason baseball.
The whispers in New York have turned into very loud vocal screaming. Aaron Judge, and, you know, when is he going to be an October postseason player? And I think that's completely fair. Until he does it, or until they win, that's completely fair.
And here comes the grab bag. Grab bag.
National League Divisional Series, a couple of Game 3s tonight at 5:08, Phillies and Mets. That series is tied at 1. And then at 9:08, Dodgers and Padres. That series also tied at 1. So it'll be Aaron Nola versus Sean Manea in the NL East matchup, and then the NL West matchup, Walker Buehler versus Michael King, who's been nasty.
Were we discussing this on the air, or was this off the air yesterday? You're pulling for the Dodgers to stick it to the Red Sox, or at least give the Red Sox proof that, see, if you spend, you can win?
Yeah, I think if you get 2 low-budget teams, although the National League is all pretty big-budget teams, so I don't think there's too much of a fear of
right,
that.
Like, but the Padres spend plenty.
But if, like,
the Mets spend plenty.
If the Tigers win the whole thing, which on the one hand would be a cool story.
Right.
The other hand, you're like, oh, why do we need to spend money?
It's
you don't
true
need to spend money to win,
like,
a World Series.
They look at it and go, we're on to something here with this cheap-ass approach. So, yeah, no, I mean, I get that. I think no matter who wins, John Henry's not going to change his mind. I hope he does. I'd love him to, but I've been kicking and screaming about that for years now, and he hasn't changed his mind, so I don't think he will.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a
grab bag.
Which is what I am.
Caitlin Clark is going to play in the LPGA Pro-Am. You know, you into that?
Ah, I love the LPGA. Yeah, now I do.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
That's kind of my sport. I kind of love it. I feel like I'm real excited to watch it. I never knew how much I needed that.
I don't know who the villain's going to be, but I can make a couple of guesses. You give me a roster sheet, I can tell you who the guests are going to be.
I can figure it out after 5 minutes
Caitlin
of watching.
Who's Caitlin Clark versus?
Yeah.
Who is she versus?
Yeah, who's she going to beat out here? So this is a Pro-Am, you said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay,
I guess. Yeah.
You have been defeated by the grab bag.
That Netflix series called Starting Five is coming out today.
It's
either out today or tonight, and they follow five basketball players from last year. One of those basketball players is Jason Tatum. You interested on this program?
I believe the headline I saw. My short answer is yes, although I might tap out of it real quick. But initially, yes. I believe the clip I saw from Tatum that was making the rounds, or at least a broken out quote, was that he would lose a finger to win a championship.
Lose a finger?
Yeah, something like
that. Not exactly Mike Vrabel.
Nope. No, that's true.
Mike Vrabel would lose much more to win a championship.
That's true. Ronnie Lott did lose a finger.
Yeah, he chewed it off.
Right.
He's like, I gotta get back at this game.
Right.
I gotta go make a couple of sticks.
Let me get the exact quote. It was something like
Tatum would lose a finger for a title. Well, he didn't have to do that.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, it just seems a little odd. Here we go. I would.
Would you cut your dick off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. It's not a yes.
He's like, I don't want to, but yeah.
I'm like, I can't say no.
Yeah.
I would cut off one of my fingers to win a championship, he said. So there
you go. Yeah. Still got all 10 digits, I believe.
Got to go a step further. They should ask the follow-up. Yeah. You'd sacrifice a finger, but...
I'll tell you, you really, 10, 20 years ago, there was just no behind-the-scenes look at any of these players. Now it's, you have the Amazon Prime special that has Swayman and Pasternak.
Yeah.
We're going to have next year a whole year documentary on the Red Sox. And you have Jason Tatum. They're making another Celtics one, I believe.
That might be a half year for the Red Sox. Didn't Netflix cameras disappear for
2 months?
They
bailed.
They tapped out.
And then my guess is next year's Hard Knocks is Patriots.
Ooh.
Wouldn't you think?
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, a lot of teams can say no. A lot of teams have already done it. And a lot of teams.
So what are the stipulations?
Qualify.
You have to miss the playoffs and you can't have a new coach.
2 years in a row.
So that takes like the Browns out of it.
No playoffs for 2 years and not having been on it for like 5 years. There's some rule about being on it before and then the rookie coach thing. So they would hit the criteria for all of it.
Got it.
They've never been
true.
On it.
That's true. They've never done it.
And I bet.
I wonder how interesting they'd be these days, but
I don't
maybe.
Know how interesting any of them are
that's a good
anymore.
Point.
There's been a couple of good ones.
It seemed like people like the in-season Giants. The off-season Giants one, rather. Yeah, it seemed like people like that. But they were just trashing Saquon Barkley, and now they look like idiots, though.
True.
Grab bag.
All right, horror movie of the day. Horror movie of the day. I always have to be careful with that. I know that's a different type of movie.
Can you do me a favor? I saw this text or tweet earlier today. Somebody said they missed it yesterday. What? You got a reminder for them?
Yeah, yesterday was the classic Psycho.
Oh, yes. Right,
Psycho.
Right,
very, very classic film, Psycho. This next one I'm going to go with currently streaming on
MGM Prime? Plus.
Where did I say it was? Hulu Prime? I thought I tweeted this out.
I don't know.
Corn Cob,
yeah,
it's
could
on
be.
Corn Cob
could be Corn
TV.
Cob. Yeah, that would make sense.
Right now, it is on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
And I got a whole bunch of them. 10 Cloverfield Lane. It is in the Cloverfield universe. You do not need to have seen the first Cloverfield to watch 10 Cloverfield Lane.
How many Cloverfields are there?
I think it's more an address than it is a series of films.
I see.
But I think there's three.
I think there's three. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's three. Third one's garbage. Right.
Got it.
I didn't like the first one. I got motion sick watching the first
one.
Yeah, first
one's
first
a
person.
Yeah, first one's a found footage one, and it's kind of a hard
like
watch.
A Blair Witch
a
style.
Yeah,
got it. Okay.
But this one stars Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who is fantastic in it, as well as John Goodman.
Mm.
And is he a good man or is he a bad man? Like, you don't know in this movie.
Yeah,
you don't
be,
know.
Might be John Badman.
He might be John Badman.
Yeah.
Or he might be John Goodman.
Mm.
I don't know. You got to watch. You let me know.
Got to have to find out.
You let me know.
Okay, so 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, it's great.
Is the wreck of the day.
I love it so much.
Now I'm standing. You all happy? We're all standing up now. Bunch of
grub bag.
Standing in a circle.
NBA GMs had a survey of who was going to win the title next year, amongst a bunch of other questions in there. And 83% said the Boston Celtics.
Is that high enough? Like, not to be
who
like,
are you picking? Are you picking your own team out there?
The answer was Oklahoma City is the only other team that received votes. Like
13%.
Who's really voting for Oklahoma City over Boston? I'm all for like, you know, an alternative take, a hot take, a take that goes against the grain.
Yeah.
I just don't get you sit down and you have to write in another team. It's not Celtics or Field. That's not an option.
No.
Because Celtics or Field, I would get. It's you have to write in another team instead of the Celtics and you write in the Thunder.
Yeah. Weird.
That I don't get.
So what is the percentage? There's 30 votes.
Yep. Oh, don't make me do that.
What's the breakdown? How many people like even voted for
two
them?
Or three voted for
many.
The Thunder?
Okay. Yeah. All right. It says the Celtics were unanimous favorites to finish atop the Eastern Conference, with every single team in the league picking them to finish first in the East. Knicks, Sixers, Cavs, Bucks, Magic, Pacers was the order,
Knicks,
I guess.
Knicks, Sixers, Cavs, Bucks.
Yeah.
That's about right to me. The top five, anyway. That's about right.
Interesting, though. Who was the most likely to win most valuable player?
SGA.
Yes.
Really?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Okay. Narrowly defeated Luka Doncic, 40% to 30%. Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and Jason Tatum.
Tatum five.
Finished a distant tie for third.
And I saw Tatum was voted the best small forward in the NBA, and yet Team USA couldn't figure out a way to get any minutes for him.
Couldn't get a sniff.
It's a real shame.
What player would teams want to start their franchise with?
Oh, got to be Wemby.
77% said Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah,
Let's see. Steph Curry dethroned as the league's best point guard for the first time in a decade.
Is that SGA?
Yeah, must have been. Let's see. Shooting guard Anthony Edwards unseated Devin Booker, who held that distinction. Tatum was selected as the best small forward second straight season. Giannis and Jokic, the best power forward center. No surprise there. And the best coach. Who's the best coach in the league?
Spoelstra?
Spoelstra.
Okay.
Yeah, Spoelstra.
All right.
There you go.
Honestly, I mean,
rookie of the year. This is the guy.
Besides a couple of votes for OKC, that's a pretty good poll, to be honest. Yeah.
Rookie of the year. My guess, this is who I would vote for, too, I think.
Who?
Reed Shepard from the Rockets. It's a bad class. I don't
like
the class
say,
at all.
I'm trying to even think of who I would vote for.
It's all those French.
Drafted this year.
It's all French guys. It was like all French guys, so I don't really love any of them. But Reed Shepard's good. The Kentucky guard.
Yep.
Jeff Shepard's kid.
Mm.
Yeah. The best is when Paul Pierce found that out. He's doing like a draft show, and they're like, he's like, that's Jeff Shepard's kid? I thought Jeff could play. Like, I like Jeff. Jeff's good.
All right, sure.
Nice. All right, fair enough.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, very exciting time. The random baseball player of the day, Jones, Billy, and Nick will try to guess this random baseball player who played from 1986 to 1998, was a member of the San Diego Padres for 7 years.
Padres, got it. Yep.
They're playing tonight, so that's why I chose the Padres. Uh-huh. Also played for the Royals, Reds, Indians, Tigers, and A's, but played more games for the Padres than I think any of those other teams combined.
Okay.
So he's mainly a Padres, a one-time All-Star.
Yep.
Second baseman. I think he could play a little left field if need be. Let's see. He was a one-time All-Star. He was a 1992 All-Star.
There you go, Billy. 92 All-Star for the Padres?
Oh, so he was a Reds All-Star,
but mostly a Padre.
Most of his career is with the Padres.
Oh, my gosh.
Stats of note, a career-high 46 steals in 1990.
Man, so he even swiped it back.
What were the years again?
86 to 98.
86 to 98, mostly a second baseman, mostly with the Padres.
Yep. Swipe you 46.
Oh, he could steal you 46 bags.
The Reds.
What if I told you he's a career 294 hitter?
I mean, I'd tell you I'm still drawing a blank.
That's a good average.
Huh.
That's a nice average, mister.
We already guessed Tony Fernandez, so it's not Tony Fernandez who never played for the Reds. I'm just trying to think
Padres
of Padres.
Have players not named Tony
Gwynn. Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
He was a teammate of Tony Gwynn's. He was a teammate of Tony Gwynn's. I remember he's in a commercial with Tony Gwynn doing like a ad for like Beckett, like going through like how much cards cost.
Nice.
And he was like, look at this, my card costs whatever. And he's like, that's not you. And it was
so in 92 All-Star, he was with the Padres?
No, he was with the Reds when
the
he was an
Reds
All-Star.
With the All-Star.
Yeah, for some reason, he went Padres, back to the Padres.
Who made an All-Star team just chucking it to Barry Larkin? Those Reds teams were good-ish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they won in 90.
Yeah, he might have been the double play combo in 92 with Larkin.
Who's the Keystone?
Probably played under Lou Piniella that year.
I got nothing. I don't even have a guess.
That's a good.
I feel bad about it. I don't even have a guess.
They stuck him out in left field that year because they had Bill Dorn at second.
Might be too random.
Is this too deep? Too deep a cut?
Let's
I went too easy last week.
Let's hear it.
You ready?
Yeah.
Bip Roberts.
Oh!
You don't like Bip Roberts.
No, like the Bip Roberts. I feel like Bip Roberts played longer than whatever year.
I don't remember Bip Roberts at all in San Diego, but I do remember him with the Reds.
So I remember. Oh, funny, because he was only with the Reds for
Bip Roberts
2 years.
That was his All-Star year. Each wife has some bags. Yeah.
Oh, he's still a bag for it. No problem.
What was Bip short for?
I'll tell you.
Please.
That's what I'm here for. Leon.
Leon Roberts. Right. Bip Roberts is cooler.
Bip Roberts.
No doubt about that. So he was
doing a good commercial. Move. He's a little guy, too. You could stick him in your pocket if you needed to. He was doing a commercial with Tony Gwynn.
By the way, multiple techs had Bip Roberts.
He's like, look at this. Roberts rookie card, like $1,000. Tony Gwynn's like, that's Robin Roberts. He goes, your card's worth 15 cents.
Nice. Got him.
He's like, all right, anyway.
Nice.
So there you go. Wow. Oh, yeah, people love Bip Roberts.
A lot of love for Bip Roberts.
Absolutely.
On the text line. Good job, text line.
People
I wasn't watching. I try not to look at the Twitch chat during this, so I don't know. Twitch chat crush it on that? I don't know.
That's a big
grab bag.
How about that? Leon Bip Roberts.
Love it.
Nice.
There you go.
Rando player of the day. Each and every day here on Jones and Keefe. I'll tell you what, Kathleen. Not much of a baseball fan, but she says she enjoys the baseball player.
Brandon player of the day.
The second baseman, because nobody can ever remember who the second baseman is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Second baseman?
He played a little outfield.
Play a little outfield.
So, yeah, but we need more shortstops.
I'll get you a shortstop.
We need more pivots, less keystones.
I'll get you a shortstop.
Maybe some hot corners.
Fine.
Yeah, a couple of those, if you could. That's every day here on Jones and Keefe in the grab bag. Also every day, we see what's going on WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart and Christian Arcand. Jacoby Brissett a little prickly yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get their read on it. We'll do it next. We're putting the finishing touches on Jones and Keefe here today on WEEI. But don't worry, WEEI Afternoons rolls on with Arcand and Hart. Stay tuned at 2 o'clock. They got you covered here today. The crossover each and every day is brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can visit the Nines for the new $14.99 big deal meals every Monday through Wednesday. Four new hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99, like the roast turkey dinner. You gotta love the Nines. Arcand texted in Bip Roberts, by the way. Keith, I have...
Oh, he nailed it.
I have proof.
Nice.
I have a timestamp, too,
that
I
did not... 142 Bip Roberts is what I have. How about
and
that?
And I endangered everyone on the road around me as I texted and drive.
I gotta get this in
just because I had to get that one in there.
Yeah. Talk to text. You weren't talk to texting it?
No.
Bip Roberts!
That was a good one.
Bip Roberts!
Band away!
Industry! Yeah, exactly. Another humble brag here. Multiple texts, Keith.
People are flying in, huh?
But
Bip Roberts.
But our buddy Mike from Orleans over in Davis.
Keith,
Square.
You're a starting
also
lineup guy,
Bip
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Starting line.
Yeah,
I had a Bip Roberts starting line on the Reds.
That's a nice
sliding
piece.
Into second base.
That
is
nice.
Why?
Yeah. Because he steals a lot of bags.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
Because first of all, Bip Roberts
was cool. He was cool.
And
was
probably one of the few that was still on the show. They flew off the shelves in there.
It
was a leftover front line. That makes sense.
I bet he also had like an Eric Davis. Like these are the
Ellis Burks.
I liked Eric Davis though. Okay, but no, Bip Roberts. I was surprised. I was looking up. I was trying to see if I had like Bip Roberts baseball cards.
I bet.
And so I was looking it up there. They'll still go for like a pretty penny.
Really?
Really? Yeah. I saw Bip Roberts cards go for $100.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Dig through a shoebox.
Yeah, but they got to be like graded.
Graded.
Like 10 out of 10. Like if you looked at it, it's like, no.
Mid condition autograph dollars.
Game worn Bip Roberts jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to steal a base while holding it.
Yeah.
That was his mitt.
So you guys talked to Brissett yesterday. My interpretation, a bit prickly.
Ooh, prickly.
Is that accurate?
Well, he's always shorter on the phone. And unfortunately, he was on the phone.
He was a little prickly about the Lazar report, for instance.
Oh, very.
I thought he was great about that.
I thought it was Belichickian. Almost regardless of the question, he had a message he wanted
to get
out.
I loved it. I thought that was great.
Yes. Yeah, it's good because it was a long, rambling question, but I did finally get it out there.
He landed the plane.
And he was great. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. And the great follow-up, I thought, too, by him.
Yeah, no, it was he had a message to get across there, which I found interesting because he's strongly supporting the culture, his coach, the team, in the week where basically everyone wants/thinks he's being replaced as the starting quarterback. I don't know if those are tied together. He's like, hey, if I'm like a really good soldier on Monday, maybe they'll decide to keep me in on Sunday, regardless of how I play. Like, that was weird to me.
So what do you guys think of his response? You think he is starting this week based on his response? He said he was to you guys, effectively.
I think he thinks he's starting.
I don't think he's been told he isn't starting yet.
Correct.
But I think there's going to be a change. There's too much smoke now.
You think Schefter, it is happening?
Schefter tweeting about, like, it seems like there's movement happening.
You guys hear Curran today? Curran has moved. Curran has shifted. He's not saying it's going to happen, but he told you, Rich.
Yeah, he's like, Brissett's no longer excellent. The first few weeks, wow. It was like the guy was,
I was
kind of
with him on that.
It.
I mean, I can't now be a fraud and mock him.
But he backed off of that. But he also said, look, I think he believes Brissett's still going to start. But he said we can get an announcement at any moment. And mm-hmm. So that to me represents some movement from a week ago where Curran's like, yeah, it's not happening anytime soon.
So basically, we're looking for 8:10 tomorrow. I'm assuming they have an 8 o'clock squad meeting.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Isn't that how it happened?
When does Mayo normally talk?
Yeah,
like 9:30-ish? I'm guessing we get it before
No. Chef, remember week one? Exactly. And crap sheet, boom, squad meeting, boom, tweet.
But I'm sure that's what'll happen. The second they leave the meeting and the whole team knows, they'll tweet it out. But I also think it's going to happen before Mayo hits the podium, because if it doesn't happen before Mayo hits the podium, I don't think he's going to make the announcement there.
Right.
So we better get it early tomorrow or later today. And maybe during WEEI afternoons.
Well, wouldn't that be something?
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
Yeah.
But then you also have to do it before, they take the practice field and all of a sudden it's a 70-30 split in the other direction, right?
Right.
Like it'll be obvious and players, the whole thing. But I do think you have to be respectful. I said this to Christian yesterday. You were so kid gloves with week one. Don't you kind of need to be kid gloves with this switch and just make sure you do it and respectfully to Brissett and the team and sort of everybody involved?
And so that explains the delay
or the
dragged out nature of it.
Plus, when were you going to do it? Like yesterday he was so hard fast. We haven't had a full staff meeting and gone over everything yet. I haven't had a chance to talk to the HC of the offense yet and really get the approval, that whole thing. And then today you're off. So tomorrow morning at the meeting is, we're going a different direction quarterback-wise.
An interesting thing about Brissett is that as much of a good soldier as he is, when you ask him about that stuff, he doesn't say, hey, whatever's best for the team. He says, no, I'm the starter. I'm going to be starting. No one's told me anything else. This is my job, et cetera. It clashes a little bit with that persona.
I was surprised. He had I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but Reese had an interview with him before the year started. And he was real salty about not getting opportunities. He clearly thinks he deserves a chance to start in the NFL, which is surprising to me. But that's
the confidence.
Yeah. And you probably have to have that to still compete and prepare and be a starter.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Gotta trick yourself somehow.
Yeah. Talk yourself into it. Have some dysmorphia, whatever the hell they call those things when you don't see your real self in the mirror. But the reality is the time is here. So Curran has backed off there because they're not 6 games below .500.
Or
only 3.
I don't know if he's fully backed away from it, but there was a tone change today.
He thinks it could happen. He's not predicting anything.
Yeah, certainly there's been a little bit of
feels like everybody
there.
Thinks. Why does everybody think it? This is
nobody knows for sure.
Well, Keith doesn't think it anymore based on the delay in the announcement.
No, I think Brissett plays Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I hope you're right.
There's just too many whispers
but the delay,
feelings.
The delay is shaking me a
little bit. It'll be Wednesday.
Okay.
And then he'll take to the
Jets
podium.
Jets waited a day before they axed Robert Saleh.
That's a good point.
Right.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Although this is day two now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, they also played early in London.
True.
All right. WEEI Afternoons. You got Arkin. You got Hart right here on WEEI. We will talk to you tomorrow on a Would You Rather Wednesday here on WEEI.